Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
An argument arose among the disciples about which of them was the greatest. Jesus realized the intention of their hearts and took a child and placed it by his side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you is the one who is the greatest." Then John said in reply, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow in our company." Jesus said to him, "Do not prevent him, for whoever is not against you is for you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
This happens often in the Gospel. The disciples are jockeying for position as cabinet secretaries in the new messianic administration they thought Jesus had come from heaven to earth to establish. But he was coming to form a different kingdom with a different set of ambitions. Jesus wants us to be ambitious, but ambitious for what really matters. And so when they were seeking false goals incompatible with the kingdom, Jesus wanted to call them back to the true ones. So he took a child. Why a child? Not because the child is innocent. Child, because a child couldn't pay you back. As most parents will know, many children wait until they become parents to say, "Thank you, Mom, thank you, Dad." Except when they're given candy or when they're given chocolate or when they're given ice cream. A lot of the times they don't pay back. There's no quid pro quo really with children, especially with infants who are probably never going to remember the good that was done. Jesus was taking someone who was a receiver rather than someone with whom you could get into a quid pro quo. Jesus said, "Whoever cares for this person who won't pay you back is caring for me. That's the way I want you to love others, not to do it so that you can get ahead in your own earthly ambitions by serving those who will be able to pat you on the back in return, but instead to do it totally selflessly." We've been meditating now for over a week on the rebuilding of the temple and of the city of Jerusalem after the exile. In response to our psalm today, we talked about how the Lord will build up Zion again and appear in all his glory. And that glory doesn't involve just coming on the clouds of heaven. That glory involves this particular type of greatness among his people. That's what the prophet Zechariah talks about today. That the Lord's zealous for Zion. He cares like a jealous husband over Jerusalem's flirtations with other gods. He wants her love. He promises that he's going to return to dwell within Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be called a faithful city. The mountain on which Jerusalem is built is going to be called the Holy Mountain. And what are we going to witness there? When it's a faithful city, when it's a holy mountain, when God truly dwells. We're going to see old men and old women, each with a staff in his hand because of old age, sitting safely in the streets of Jerusalem, people watching, talking, sharing stories, etc. The city shall be filled with boys and girls playing in the streets. Because again, they feel loved, they feel embraced, they're not cowering, wondering what next calamity is on the way. Caring for those at the extremes. This is what Pope Francis says, the church is supposed to take ever more seriously and urgently. When he went to World Youth Day in Brazil, I was kind of shocked. Three times he talked about seniors at World Youth Day. And how both the young and the old are crucial. This morning in the Vatican, in his homily, he brought back that same thought, and he said, the real greatness of a society, the real treasure of the church, are bambini e vecchi, children and seniors. Seniors because they're the memory, they're the past, they're the roots, they're the ones who pass on tradition. And children, especially young children, because they are the future. He says, so often in our cultures, what we do is we focus just on those in the middle of life, 20 to retirement age. Those who are productive. And in our hyper-productive, hyper-efficient economies in which the only thing that really matters is making more money, those who aren't working on the extremes often get pushed off to the side. He says, that's when cultures corrode. He says, for us in the church, we've got to begin with those on the extremes of life, because if we're really receiving them in God's name, then we're going to be able to care for everybody else. But if we're not caring for those on the extremes, we're often just going to be using everybody else in between. Today, we're living in an age in which many seniors can't take care for themselves anymore. Mm-hmm. Some of them get dementia. They need around-the-clock care by family members or in facilities that are able to provide it. And we're living in a culture in which there's a temptation to just write them off. If they can't remember us, if they have a little bit of dementia, they're no longer living a life worth living, we say. Likewise for young children, especially those who are handicapped in any way. We try to write them off as well. Jesus is saying to us very clearly today that if we wish to be great, if we wish to be faithful, if we wish to be holy, it's going to be shown in how we care for those on these extremes of age in life. And he wants us precisely in the church to become great in this way. Today's feast talks about a second form of greatness, which likewise we have to take very seriously and help those on the extremes of life and everybody in between take more seriously. Sacred Scripture. Not sure if you noticed yesterday when the rich man being tormented in hell asks Abraham to send Lazarus to his five brothers to warn them before time ran out that God's serious about our loving our neighbor. What was this rich man's response when Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them? Said, oh no, Father Abraham. Because what? He knew his brothers were blowing off Moses and the prophets. They were ignoring the entire Old Testament, all God had given us in order precisely to become the type of people he wants us to be. But they didn't know Moses and the prophets because they were ignoring God, because they were just really focused on themselves. Do you know Moses and the prophets? Most Catholics don't. Most of us ignore the law and the prophets. And as the saint we celebrate today, Saint Jerome, said very clearly, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Jesus Christ. It's very difficult for us to get to know Christ unless we know the prophecies that pointed to him and what they mean. We might be able to say Jesus lived at this time. We might be able to recite what's in the creed. But there's so much we don't know about the most important person of all if we don't know the Old Testament. St. Jerome once got a letter from a Roman matron. She was having some problems with her teenage daughter. Her teenage daughter just wanted to surround herself with jewelry and necklaces and earrings and the whole rest of it. And the mother wanted Jerome's advice about the proper balance. And Jerome said, get your daughter to focus on pearls and jewelry that come from God. May she be adorned with the words of sacred scripture far more than she's adorned with the precious things of this world. St. Jerome gave an analogy that I've never forgotten. He said, most good Catholics, if they're a good Catholic, if they were to see a priest celebrating Mass up here, not caring at all about the particles of the sacred host, you know, just kind of throwing up the corporal up and down and having the particles fly all over the place, or if they saw a priest just drop hosts like crazy on the floor or anything else, St. Jerome said, we would be horrified and we would all run to try to pick up those particles, to pick up those hosts. That's what a Catholic would do. He says, but when the word of God is announced, so often those words just fall on the ground. They don't really stop in our minds and in our hearts. And most of us don't care. Mentioned it at least once before, the surveys in 2008 in preparation for a synod in the Vatican on the Word of God and the life and the mission of the Church, of 8 countries of practicing Catholics, those who come to Mass every Sunday, that of the practicing Catholics, only 3% said that they read Sacred Scripture at all during the rest of the week, or that they listen to it or have any real contact at all with the Word of God. 1 out of 33. That's got to change. If ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, one of the deepest plagues for the Church comes through our ignorance of Sacred Scripture. But I got good news for you. And sorry if I'm a little insistent like an importune woman. Luke 18, nothing against women. That's a person in Sacred Scripture. This week, we're starting a 24-week Bible study on, guess what? Moses and the prophets. Now, I know that you're all ready to start jumping up and down for that, right? Because a lot of Catholics will say to themselves, I can't understand it on my own. There's a lot of imagery. I need a little bit of help. I need a little bit of a catalyst to help me to get to know it. Woo! We've got a solution to that problem. Starts this week, Wednesday night. It's going to go through all of the Old Testament so that we can get to know it and how it points to Christ. It's the answer to your knee calluses, right? You've been praying for something like this because you need it. And I know some people are going to say, hey, it's going to get dark in the winter and I don't really do very well driving in the dark. Woo! Thanks be to God you know people who can drive. Perhaps even kids and grandkids who might do a favor for Meme or Pepe and bring them and learn something in the process and become zealous. Maybe one of them would have a priestly vocation later or religious vocation later. But this is an opportunity for us to overcome that ignorance of the Lord, which is so catastrophic, so that we can become great in what matters to God, and knowing this word, live this word, and then like Pope Francis is calling us to, take care of those on the extreme and everybody in between. Because if we can hear God speaking to us in His holy word, then it's so much easier for us to hear His voice when someone comes and says, can you help me? Jesus calls us to greatness, not to mediocrity. And today He indicates to us 2 ways. By our really embracing others in His name, especially those whom the world so much more easily forgets. And then second, through getting to know His holy word. Let us ask St. Jerome's help to take both truly seriously. At the very beginning of his life, St. Jerome had a massive conversion. He was 23 years old and he had a dream. And in the dream, he said that he was a Christian. And then Jesus spoke to him, said, no, you're not. You're a Ciceronian. Because you know the writings of Cicero far better than you know my writings. You know Cicero more than you know me. There are a lot of us who might not be Cicero scholars, but we would know far more about our work profession than we know about Sacred Scripture. We'd know far more about our own personal family tree than we would about Jesus' family tree in which we're inserted. Let's remedy that apace.